Welcome to the Minnesota chapter of the American College of Healthcare Executives podcast. Through this podcast, we will shed light on the work of the ACHE board, benefits of membership, and relevant topics that healthcare executives like yourself are navigating. With each series, we will go in depth on what it means to be a member and why you should join your Minnesota healthcare colleagues. We all share a common goal to positively influence and advance healthcare. ACHE welcomes anyone that touches healthcare. It's not just for practice administrators, physicians, and clinicians. If you are a healthcare consultant, developer, or architect, we encourage you to consider being a member. Go ahead and check out our website at achemn.org. Today's podcast is focused on mentorship and sheds light on the importance and value of being both a mentor and a mentee. You will hear from Jeff Kaufman, Vice President of Biomedical Services for the American Red Cross, and Hamakshi Jala, Operations Manager, Mayo Clinic, Rochester.
Hello, this is Jeff Kaufman, and today we're going to be talking about mentoring and menteeship. I am the Vice President of Biomedical Services for the American Red Cross and have been a member of ACHE since 1976 and a fellow since the mid-80s. I was also the regent for the state of Minnesota, one region to go, and I'm looking very much forward today to interviewing Hamakshi Jala, who is at the Mayo Clinic, but I'm going to allow Hamakshi to talk a little bit about her background, and then we'll go into some of the questions. Go ahead, Hamakshi.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, everyone. I'm Hamakshi Jala. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my experiences in mentorship. As for my background, it has been a bit unusual, but very interesting. So I'm a trained dentist from India, and I was practicing dentistry over there. Parallel to that, I was also involved with a lot of local nonprofits, healthcare nonprofits, and UNICEF India. And it was at that time that I realized that when I use my skills in administration and when I use my skills in resource allocation, team mobilization, venue sorting, communication, public communication, I think when I was doing all of that, I was able to impact healthcare of a broader population than just sitting in my clinic and doing that root canal for 30 minutes. I guess that's the core thing that led to my transition to healthcare administration. Coming to the U.S., I pursued master's and trained myself in public health, business administration, and have been working in health systems ever since. So worked with Mainline Health, worked with Duke Health before moving to Rochester, and currently I'm serving as an operations manager at Mayo Clinic. So that's my journey so far.
Well, it's a great journey, and we're so glad that you're here. Thinking back on your past or current mentors, can you share some of what your most poignant advice that still sticks with you?
I've been very fortunate, I guess, to get mentors throughout my professional journey, and they have been given me great advice. They have helped carve my direction, helped me realize what my next step should be. But if I have to just highlight, say, top three advices that I hold so dearly to me and I visit and revisit and keep in perspective in every decision I make, I think the first thing would be being authentic. I know it sounds very cliche. Authentic leadership is a topic that has been talked about so much, but it's nonetheless very important. I think it's very important to know your own why you're doing whatever you're doing, why you're taking a particular decision, and carving your leadership style around that, and then just carving a path for yourself, for your team, with that approach, staying true to who you are and what you mean? What are the true values that you stand for? So it's essentially, yeah, just walk the talk, practice what you preach. And that just helps you being very effective in any role you are playing. The second advice, I guess, that came from one of my mentors at Duke University, and he shared it because he was reading a book at that time. I hadn't read. This is a quote actually from the book Business Adventures by John Brooks. It is, the quote essentially is that facts are a lot less compelling than the dictates of the lizard brain. Ever since I first got that, I think it has been so relevant in a range of scenarios that I encounter in my work here, whether it's interpersonal relationships. So again, explaining the quote, the lizard brain, meaning the limbic system. So essentially what the writer meant was that human emotion, we cannot discount human emotion, even when we have way more compelling facts against that, whatever the situation is. So I remind myself a lot when I'm making my own decisions, certain decisions for myself, for my teams, that is it fact-backed or is it more an emotion-driven decision? And let's just tease it out and let's just be more objective. But it's also been very useful when I'm dealing with resolving interpersonal conflict. Then just in this COVID situation, when there's so many changes coming our way and we have to adapt to and move our teams along with all those changes, sometimes there's a lot of risks of rumors being started and just so coming back and knowing that there's always going to be a component of human emotion. So whatever decision we make, you have to be sure that you account for that, you address that, and you manage that. So that has been very useful advice. A third piece of advice that has also been very useful, and I find it because I sometimes remind my current mentees, do you have a very strong need to be liked by people? And is that need driving any decisions you make? Because if that's the case, then that's a sure shot way to fail as a leader. And that is the advice that I was given by one of my mentors. And she meant it, I know. And it's so true. It's just so true. You will, in any position, be required to take decisions that are unpopular. But at that time, you don't put higher value to being liked by people. You do the right thing, you communicate the why, and then expect the team to understand. So I think that's the third piece of advice.
Well, I think those are all excellent. I think authenticity in managers today is paramount, just as you suggested. Clearly, the old style of command and control, for the most part, is totally gone, unless it's an incredible emergency situation. And so this notion of authenticity is incredibly important. I love this human emotion versus facts. I'm a person who tends to say, show me the data, give me rationale, talk to me about why one particular way of doing something is better than the other based on that knowledge and those data and those facts. So again, I totally agree with you here. But you're right, we are humans, and humans tend to react and think with their lizard brain and not always with their fact-based, data-based, rational self. And I think, again, that's an incredibly important one. And your last point, the strong need to be liked, I think is also a great one. You know, as managers, we can be, in quote, friends or friendly with the people that we manage. But in the end, we are their manager, and we need to be certain that we're making the best decisions for patients, for the organization, for whatever. And sometimes, and many times, that doesn't necessarily jive with what people who report to you want necessarily to hear. And then that's, then I think the next part of that is to try to explain to them why you made that decision. And that comes back to your second point. It's, you know, it's, I thought a lot about this. The data show this. My conclusions from the data are this, and hence my recommendations follow. And so I think those were excellent points, and thank you for that. The second question that I'd ask you as a mentor, how do you guide and pull out the very best in people?
This is a good one. And again, I would hesitate a bit to call myself again mentor. It comes with a lot of responsibility, although I will say that I do have mentees, and that's something that I enjoy, helping people, coaching them, helping them grow, and sharing whatever I have learned through my professional journey and experiences. But pulling out the best in people, I think the first and foremost thing that I would say is being available. Because I do see certain people that they who want to be mentors, and they think, okay, I'll share, and with a very positive and very right intent to help people, but they sometimes underestimate the time it requires, the dedication it requires to be an effective mentor. So I would suggest that just being available, investing the time to know your mentees, to share what, how you can help them, understand what they need from you, build a trusting relationship. And if we invest that time, I think it that is what can make one an effective mentor, because then they can confide in you. They can actually share what they are thinking, what they need. And that's the value you bring to the relationship. I value this because I have got this from my mentors. Like, all my mentors so far are extremely busy people, I know. But there's never been once that when I've needed them, they've not been available. And I try to do the same. I mean, if you need me, if we have entered into this relationship, I've committed to be your mentor and help you with a certain aspect of your professional growth, I'm there for you. It could be I might have a busy day and might not find time till 6 p.m. And then at 6 p.m., I am at my son's Taekwondo classes. Call me. I'll hop in the car, take the call, and I'm there for you. So just be available. Being available is important. I think the second thing is being honest. So once you have invested the time and build a trusting relationship with your mentee, the next thing you have to do as a mentor is be honest and give them that honest feedback that, yes, this is good, your approach and intent was correct, but in my perspective, this is not working because of this, or also challenging them that, okay, this was good enough, but are you aiming for good enough? Like, push them to the next level. So be honest and challenge the mentee. And the third thing that is, again, cliche, but it works with kids, it works with my 8-year-old, it works with my teams, is positive reinforcement. What gets rewarded gets repeated. So I try to do the same with my mentees, is when they take up and bring a scenario and say, oh, I took this feedback and this is how I did it, I essentially make sure that I am appreciating and acknowledging their effort, not their skill or not their inherent naturally endowed skill, but the effort they made, the decision, the path, the choice they made in a difficult situation. So yeah, positive reinforcement is the other thing that is very helpful to bring out the best in people.
I think those were excellent. You know, I think the term mentor, and you alluded to this in some of your earlier comments on this, there is this notion of some sort of hierarchy between mentor and mentee. And I think you and I had discussed previously to the call that we view a lot of these as peer-to-peer kinds of relationships, although one may have a higher title in the organization on the org chart than somebody else. But it's still a give and take kind of a thing. And I think we both discussed that when we are a mentor and when we are a mentee, we get kind of an equal benefit from being in either of those positions. I think that's true. Right about being available. I think that's incredibly important because you do have to show up. And when people need you, you have to be there for them. One of the things that you alluded to a little bit, and I would probably add to that a little bit, is to understand what the goals are of that particular individual. You know, are they somebody who is incredibly satisfied with where they are and what they're doing, and they make the best of it there? Or are they somebody who has other aspirations to move up in the organization, or to get different experiences, or to maybe even move to another part of the organization? I think understanding that and stretching them to reach those particular personal goals is also really important. And you alluded to that sort of in your second point. Mm-hmm. It always amazes me when somebody comes back and says, "Wow, I didn't think I could do that, but I did it, and you pushed me and helped me get there." And you know, the last one is a tough one: being honest or providing feedback, because there are times when something doesn't work out as well as it should, and you have to kind of let them know that. But at the same time, you have to point out, based on your own personal experiences, if you had tried this, or talked to that person, or used this approach, perhaps the outcome might have been different. So I think all of those are excellent. And you know, we all know that positive reinforcement works with not only our children, but with our staff as well. And I think that's a very important point. Great. As the last one, and we're going to kind of turn the tables a little bit here, but as a mentee, not as the mentor, but as the mentee, how do you initiate and keep the relationship going with your mentor? What are some tips that you would give to those who are consider themselves to be mentees to keep that relationship strong over time?
That's a good question. As a mentee, I think majority of the relationship, if you have the right mentor, the relationship is going to be mentee driven. It's up to the mentee to establish the nature of the relationship, I think. And what I mean by that is just stepping into a relation in this relationship with clarity of what you are looking for. And I'm not necessarily saying that, hey, I'm looking for my next step in the career. It could be, and I have seen mentees who have that. It could be, I don't know what more I can do. I want to grow, but I don't even know where to. And that could be the goal of that mentoring relationship. But just establish what your goal from this relationship is. And that's how you take responsibility of the relationship. Check with your mentor again that this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm hoping you can help me with. Again, some of the tactics of how frequently you want me to set up the meetings. This is for every meeting, going with certain level of goals, taking some action items and acting upon those. So just showing that engagement. I'll be honest again, with my mentors, that I have had mentors who I don't regularly stay in touch with, but it's just because we have invested enough time early on to build that trust. I try to stay in touch with them. I update them, although I'm not requiring any feedback or any inputs. I just update them. This is how are things? This is what's going on. This is what I'm thinking. Little accomplishments. So staying in touch is important. I think I also say that maintain confidentiality. You know, like I have had mentors who are so invested, and I feel very fortunate that they have shared their confidential information about their professional experiences. So just respect that. Be mindful, because again, it's a part of that trust you built. And then express appreciation. You know that they are busy. You know that they are doing it, and you are the one to benefit the most from this relationship. So just acknowledge and appreciate them. This is what I do, honestly. And it just, I could use more guidance if this guy's.
I think those are great ones. The one that I really like, and that I think I tend to do on a regular basis with people that I consider to be my mentors, is schedule meetings, create an agenda, and make sure that that you're using that individual's time wisely. because their time is valuable, and it's time that they're taking away from other aspects of their work or their business and providing that time to you. So I think taking full advantages of that time and using it really wisely are important. I think just staying in touch, that's a great one. I think that's always wonderful. And then I think thanking, you know, we don't thank people enough for what they do for us or how they help us along the road. So I think it's fabulous. Machi, I think this has been an incredible interview. I appreciate all of your insights, all of your time, all of your thoughts here in preparing for this. And I look forward to hearing this in whatever form, excerpts or in full on the ACHE Minnesota website. Thank you so much for participating and answering these questions on mentorship today.